The next case for argument is 24-1471, ABC Corporation v. Partnership and Unincorporated Association. Good morning. Is it Mr. Lumashio?
You got it, Your Honor. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Good morning. Please proceed.
Thank you. Good morning, and may it please the Court. Richard Lumashio of Stinson LLP, on behalf of appellants Hanzhou Shik Intelligent Technology Company, Incorporated, and Unicorn Global, Incorporated, in this appeal from the District Court's grant of summary judgment of non-infringement in favor of defendants.
Let me just ask you, we've got a Mr. Hatch in this case, too. As we
I was having the same, I don't know. And
our folks may have figured it out, but I don't know either. Okay, let's proceed.
Anyway, we ask this court to reverse the non-infringement summary judgment and remand this case for trial. This appeal turns on the district court's misapplication of the ordinary observer test and the improper resolution of factual disputes at the summary judgment stage.
The problem, one of the problems you've got in this case is you had a very detailed opinions earlier on, and it was in fact a precedential opinion written that discusses all these questions in terms of how we reconcile under Egyptian goddess the ordinary observer and use of prior art. So it seemed like the opinion earlier kind of baked in a lot of the questions that you're asking us to sort of revisit here. Am I wrong about that?
Your Honor, what I would suggest is that the current status of the case is informed by that earlier decision. And in applying that case, the district court here, we think, in our view, overcompensated for the opinion he had previously in terms of looking at and applying Egyptian goddess and the other precedent that is at issue in this case. And how
he
did that is he had a hyper focus on individual elements of the particular hoverboards in this case, such as differences between the fenders, differences between the lights, differences between the foot pads, and differences between the neck of the hoverboard, without considering the overall visual impact of those slight differences.
Well,
on
the previous case kind of suggested that maybe that's the way to go. It says, in other words, where a dominant feature of the patented design in the accused products, the hourglass shape, appears in the prior art, the focus of the infringement substantial similarity analysis in most cases will be on other features of the design.
It will be on other features of the design, but you also still have to look at the overall design incorporating those features.
Okay.
And what happened here is there's no, for lack of a better term, there's no distancing from the individual analysis of those features in the opinion as to the overall product.
So what are you asking for here? You want another redo so that he can articulate more? I mean, what is it you're envisioning would happen here at remand?
What we would envision happening here is we would have the opportunity to be remanded back to the district court and have the opportunity to try this case before a jury to address this issue of the ordinary observer and the issue of infringement.
Well, if you're saying he applied the wrong test, then that doesn't necessarily mean automatically you get a jury trial. Right. I mean, is that your point, though, that he applied the wrong test?
No.
Get a do-over on the applying the right test, if you can tell us what that is?
No, Your Honor. He did. We're not saying that the ordinary observer test was not the proper test to apply. We are saying that his application of the ordinary observer test in this case, on these facts, was improper because he did not consider the overall impression of the product incorporating the design differences. And in terms of going back, that raises an issue of whether a reasonable trier of fact would find infringement or non-infringement with regard to the accused products that are at issue in this case. And that is not, and in applying that test, we just think we believe it's a question for the jury, because there is an issue past the summary judgment stage as to what the ordinary observer should consider.
You'll agree there are instances where design patent infringement claims can be resolved at the summary judgment stage.
Of course.
We've affirmed many summary judgments of non-infringement. And here in this particular case, as Judge Prost already noted, this court has already written on this case before, and that prior opinion gave a lot of guidance. And one of those guidance signals is that the hourglass shape is really going to be nothing more than a background feature in trying to do the substantial similarity analysis. So because the hourglass shape is, as we already said, is the dominant feature of this design, you can't help but start looking at the other features, the other elements, and then we can see why the district court found, for example, the fenders of the accused products to look very distinctly different from the fenders of the patented designs. And then there's the neck, and then there's the decorative elements. And all together, I mean, I don't know what more you expected the district court to say beyond what it said after it itemized all of these clear differences and then ultimately concluded they ultimately create a different commercial impression compared to the patented designs.
Well, Your Honor, what we would expect the district court to have done is to then analyze the products together, including all of those pieces, so that you'd have, for lack of a better term, a visual of the overall product, which has fenders, which has foot pads.
Maybe the court did that, and I'm going to read out of J19. The district court said that the overall visual impression of each design can only be described with reference to these details, albeit taken together as a whole. That's J19. That seems to me to answer your concern. It looks like the district court did what you're saying it did not.
And, Your Honor, if you refer to that portion of the opinion and also the later portion of the opinion at Appendix 18, his focus, though, at each of those times was on the individual components and not the product overall. While he says he does mention and use the term overall effect, the issue...
He says that the overall effect, in this case, the overall effect can only be arrived at by consideration of all these details, because there's so many of them.
I believe it's also true that you have to consider all those details. But just as you consider those details, you also have to consider the fact that the accused products have fenders. Our product has fenders. The accused product has foot pads. Our product has foot pads. The accused products have...
That's too high level of generality. Because that runs you right into the teeth of the functionality doctrine. And that's why we don't just look at these broad concepts of elements of fenders and foot pads. Now we start looking at the actual designs and the appearance of those fenders and the appearance of those foot pads. And that's what the district court did and identified clear differences between the accused product's foot pads and the patented design's foot pads. The same thing with the fenders.
Well, but
you don't get a coverage for all fenders for hoverboards. You just don't.
No,
this is a design pattern.
Of course, Your Honor, but what you do get is the design pattern for the overall impression of the product. And in assessing the overall impression, you also exclude trivial details as to certain aspects of those things. So, for example, with regard to the neck, there is a slight raise in the patents in suit on the neck, whereas it's flat on the accused products. Look.
They dip down.
Well, there's some dip down. A few dip down, I think, and some are flat. But looking at those as the ordinary observer and as a quite frankly a retail purchaser of those items, you're going to see the hoverboard entity. You're not necessarily going to focus on that slight dip or that slight, because you're looking at the overall product. And those types of details, and this is what it focuses on the Crocs case, those types of those sorts of trivial details with regard to certain things that are distinguishing aspects of the patent and of the product are things that you have to, that's why you have to consider the overall visual impression of the product as a whole, not through its component parts.
But here, mm-hmm. After you put the hourglass shape to the side, it appears to me that the district court looked at all of the remaining elements. And I don't think you can say that they're merely trivial. They are the remaining visual elements of the accused product and patented designs.
And if you look at them together as a whole, they still resonate visually as to a hoverboard with fenders, similar to the pads in suit, with a neck, and with the foot pads. And the details we were talking about, for example, let's focus on the foot pads. The differences in the foot pads are essentially the lines or design of the foot pads, not the presence or existence of the foot pads.
I think the biggest clear difference that strikes me right away is the fenders. I mean, the accused products, they have these flat, angular flares that don't cover much of the tires, at least compared to the patent designs fenders, which cover much more of the wheel.
Again, but if you look at those issues,
and again, you don't get all fenders.
I don't get all fenders, but we get fenders to the extent that they're part of the overall design, and there might be differences between those fenders and our fenders, and I think there are. I'm not going to say there aren't differences, but they are not so much so that you neglect. They change the overall visual impression of the hoverboard. I'm sorry, Chen, Your Honor, do you have any other questions? Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you, Your Honor. The second aspect of, other than what we've discussed here, the other aspect of the opinion where we would believe there's error by the district court is in not considering Mr. Hatch. I'm not sure if it's the same Mr. Hatch as the last case. Okay, thank you. But is that his opinion and his view as an expert on the visual impression of the product did raise an issue of a tribal issue of fact for our case, and for that reason, we also believe that the district court should be reversed.
We're into your rebuttal, so I'm here from the other side. We won't say anything.
Yeah. Thank you.
May the police accord. My name is Wilma from Glacier Law. I represent the police, seven police in this appeal. And, Your Honors, actually this infringement issue has been considered by the court back to 2022. At the preliminary injunction stage, this court vacated the preliminary injunction obtained by the appellants. In doing so, the court clearly stated, and I quote, that even a cursory review of the full accused products show that they are different from each other and displays the features not found in the asserted patent and leak features in the asserted patent. Further, this court also pointed out that the accused product D has prominent features that differ from the asserted patent.
Yeah, these are assessments. I mean, our analysis is different, as I'm sure you recognize, when we're dealing with review of a preliminary injunction.
Mm-hmm.
or whether we're reviewing now, as we are, a grant of summary judgment. So it's a bit more of a detailed analysis.
Right? Yes, Your Honor.
We didn't resolve this case in the earlier disposition. We could not have resolved the case in the earlier disposition, right?
Yes, Your Honor. We authorities the different standard for the preliminary injunction, and they are the grant of the summary judgment. But the findings of the federal findings from this court still need to be respected and followed. Because this court finds there's a substantial difference from the accused product D with the asserted patent, such as the overall shape is different, and the distinctly boxy and angled wheel covers is significant different.
That's it product is, D, right?
Yeah, accused okay, product D.
That was only product D.
Yes, but as for the appellants in their opposition to the motion for summary judgment and their opinion from the Mr. Hatch, they just cut and paste all the similar, you know, such as the flat surface and the open arched fender and the pronounced footpad areas to allege the infringement.
But do you recognize that there's a bit of a tension, arguably, in our case law with respect to design patents?
Mm-hmm.
Because we've got to not consider or put in the background prior art, but the standard is still the overall appearance, which includes the prior art, does it not? So there is a tension there, don't you think?
Yes, Your Honor. Actually, we believe that this district court has strictly followed the precedent by this court. That view the overall impression of the accused product and the asserted patent in context of the prior art, and they focused on the cause the hourglass shape is predominant and highly relevant to in the prior art, so they focused on the other features details showed in the asserted patent and the accused product. It's also worth noting that the features the district court mentioned in the summary judgment order, such as the fenders, the neck areas, the footpad design, and the light and the lights, are not even minor components of this product. They actually occupy the substantial portion of the design in both the accused product and the asserted patents. That constitute a primary aspect of the overall design. So I don't think there's any basis for the appellants to assert that these are minor differences. And I don't think their expert, Mr. Hatch, has ever given a single reason to explain that, why this be viewed as the minor differences. And also, we believe that the district court never improperly dissect the design. They follow the rule. They analysis the differences. Actually, the structural and the significant differences of the features of the accused products, and they combined them all to conclude that the overall impression of this accused product are substantially different from the asserted patent. As for the second issue, that we do not believe there are any genuine dispute of material fact in this case that could be considered by the jury. The appellants relied heavily on the unspotted and conclusive expert report from Mr. Hatch, setting aside the procedural issues of the report being untimely, the substance of Mr. Hatch's analysis.
Wait a minute, yeah, and you keep continuously refer to his report as being inadmissible, but the district court did not rule it inadmissible, right?
And yes, Your Honor.
There's no cross appeal or challenge to that ruling here, so we're not going to relitigate whether or not it was inadmissible or not.
Yes, Your Honor. So, but we still believe the substance of Mr. Hatch's report is deeply flawed because he only provided conclusory statements without any explanation. The first Mr. Hatch asserts that the accused products and the patents are not plainly dissimilar, just one sentence without any explanation. And second, they also asserted that labels the significantly difference identified by the district court as minor. Also, they gave no rationale why this difference should be considered
as
minor.
Was the Hatch report in the record when it came up on the PI?
Mm-hmm. No, 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 no. Actually, the plaintiffs in the district court provide a provide Mr. Hatch's report in support their first and two preliminary injunction order. And after this court vacated that preliminary injunction order, the plaintiff immediately filed another motion for preliminary injunction order, and that that provided in support of their third motion for preliminary injunction that provide a update, they called updated, existed renewed report from Mr. Hatch, and even criticized the district court denied the motion for preliminary injunction, the third preliminary injunction motion, and criticized Mr. Hatch's method in analysis the difference and the infringement analysis. And in plaintiff's opposition to our motion for summary judgment of non-infringement, that provide another renewed or updated report from Ms. Hatch. It's over, I think it's over 100 pages, more than 40 or 50 pages than all the other previously report provided by Mr. Hatch. We also filed a motion to strike Mr. Hatch's report in support of the plaintiff's motion opposition for summary judgment, but the court did not rule on that because the court.
Well, he didn't grant your motion, so I mean, whether it ruled or not, you wouldn't grant the motion was not granted.
Yes, Your Honor. So the district court mooted that motion and that granted the. Our motion for non-infringement, so that did not that just moves that motion. So the first thing I believe that actually we believe the appellants just argue that if the accused products are not plainly dissimilar to the asserted patents, there should be no summary judgment on them. That is clearly not the law, and this court has also repeatedly affirmed the summary judgment of non-infringement whenever the difference between the designs are plainly dissimilar or not. So respectfully request the court to affirm the summary judgment or not. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor. Just briefly, just to clarify one point, you had asked with regard to the Hatch report whether or not it was the same from the PI. It was not. What happened was after the decision on the PI in this court, there was a further proceedings relating to a new PI in the district court where there was a separate and amended Hatch report, and there's also an additional Hatch report that was submitted in connection in opposition reply to expert reports that were submitted by the defendants in both connection with the PI and also believe also in connection with the summary judgment motion. Just part of record, and those are part of the record. Just to conclude, Your Honors, this case is about the whole design, and the court. The court below turned the ordinary observer test into a parts test, discounting shared prior art, distinguishing features and elevating trivial variances on this record, reasonable jurors could see the accused hoverboards as substantially the same overall. So judgment of non-infringement was error. There are no further questions. I appreciate your time and thank you.
Thank you. Thank both sides. The case is submitted.